Good morning. It is a Thursday morning. We are with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, we must start with the Democratic debate last night. Six candidates on the stage and quite an onslaught of attacks. The candidates, led by Elizabeth Warren, says the New York Times, turned on one another in scorching terms, with Michael Bloomberg and Bernie Sanders forced onto the defensive. The attacks reflected the urgency of the moment, as Mr. Sanders gained strength and those hoping to slow him are worried about Mr. Bloomberg's rise.
Well, it is interesting, David, because Sanders in all of the polls is way, way out front. They are worried about the rate of increase for Bloomberg, who's been coming on fast. And everybody knew that they were going to attack with everything that they had, and we all knew pretty much what it was that they had, that he was a billionaire, that he was buying his way in, that he was rude to women, and they really went after him with everything they had. It didn't work out as badly as some people thought it would. On the other hand, Bloomberg certainly did distinguish himself as a debater. I have one woman friend who said that she thought that Warren had done extremely well and showed that she was the one person who could stand up to Trump. So the debate went on, and everybody went for everybody. Bernie Sanders was accused of being a millionaire and owning three homes. And in each case, it got nastier and nastier because it's now or never time. Super Tuesday's coming up. Sanders is way out front. The big issue with him is electability. But who knows? Who knew that Donald Trump could be elected? So the amount of anger on the Democratic side at the behavior of this president is so great that when turnout means everything, because there are more Democrats than Republicans in the country, if everybody turns out, he's got a shot.
Then there was this dust-up between Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, the former Indiana mayor blasting the three-term Minnesota senator for failing to answer questions in a recent interview about Mexican policy and forgetting the name of the Mexican president. She shot back at him. Are you trying to say I'm dumb? Are you mocking me here? So getting really, really mean-spirited.
David, it was not the most attractive time in the debate because, you know, you had what could be perceived as an attack on a woman as being dumb. Never a smart move, especially in the age of Me Too. And people have to be very careful about the way they interact. However, what is really going on here is beyond me, why they attack each other at the lower levels. Those people aren't winning, at least not now. Sanders is way ahead. And it would seem to me that Sanders got off pretty easy by the time it was over. Usually the front runner is the one who is attacked. The rise of Bloomberg, of course, has a lot of people on that panel disturbed, and it showed, so that Bloomberg became the target. I don't know whether or not being the target actually helped. Because when people perceive that somebody is important enough to warrant all those attacks, it may actually help.
You've warned all along in your conversation with Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York yesterday. He warned about this. Do not think that beating Trump is easy. We see polls that say any of these Democrats could beat Trump, but I guess not so fast, right?
That's right, David. Look, there are many people who believe that Trump is going to win. And as you know, Kellyanne Conway tweeted last night, because of the quality of the debate and how angry it was, why don't you people keep going for another hour? Obviously, he's sitting there, he's watching it, he's in communication with her, and that seems to be where they are. I think that they didn't do themselves any good last night, that's for sure.
Let's go a little further with your interview with Governor Andrew Cuomo yesterday.
Please.
He had quite a time trying to reframe the budget narrative, and this had to do a lot with the press because, as he put it, the times are so political and so episodic and topical, it's that what's happening with this budget is the elephant is being lost for the tail. He pointed out how the press bands together, and you pointed out that even WAMC and you were criticized for being one of the places the governor goes and that other places shouldn't cover it. And he said, well, why don't you follow me around? Why do you stay in the red room and wait for me to show up for you?
Yes, it was an interesting to-do. There was one fellow who tweeted that during the last appearance of the governor, that people shouldn't quote WAMC, and which I was infuriated by, to be honest with you. I just thought it was crazy. You know, you don't start saying, don't cover him because we want him in the red room. But I did go out of my way to ask the governor about why he isn't doing more press conferences. And that's what he said. You're welcome to come along with me. Basically, you're too lazy, you don't do it. I don't know if that has any merit at all. I'd like to see him doing full press conferences. On the other hand, I don't want competitors for the news to be saying, don't quote them. When that happens, it's most unseemly. I haven't shut up about it since it happened, and I intend to keep going.
You had an interesting discussion with the head of the Assembly Health Committee, longest tenured legislator in the history of New York. Richard Gottfried.
My friend Dick Gottfried. He's been there forever. He was the youngest, and now he's the longest serving. He made the point that John Markey was a senator from Staten Island who had been there for a long, long time. He said, yeah, but there was a question of a leap year, therefore I'm the longest serving.
By a day.
That's pretty funny. Look, he's got a plan to have universal health care in New York alone. The governor says, no, you got to do it nationally. Got to start somewhere. I think somewhere between the two of them is the truth. I love the idea that a state will come up with a plan. I know Massachusetts did. Almost everybody in Massachusetts is covered. One would think it could be done in New York State also. I think Gottfried has a point. On the other hand, you've got a governor with a $6 billion budget shortfall, and he's trying to put that on the counties for the way in which Medicaid is dispersed, saying that basically we've gotten way too generous. Obviously, the counties don't like it because it'll affect their budgets, and they will fight back like crazy, but they will do it in a subterranean way because you don't want to get Andrew mad, that's for sure.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thank you.
Thank you, David, as always.